Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Rob and Rob.
Welcome to Ask Rob and Rob, the show where we are in the business of answering property questions. Answers coming up in just a sec for Claire and Ollie. But first, Rob, how do people send in their own questions? It can't be that hard.
It is not, because you can either phone in and leave us a voicemail, or you can leave us a voice message via our website. If you want to use the old dog and bone, you can dial 013 808 0035, or you can go to propertyhub.net/ask. Super simple, and it's exactly what Claire has done.
Hi, Rob and Rob. My name's Claire. Thanks for all the information on the Property Hub. I really enjoy listening. My question is, what should I do with the money that's sat in the bank while I wait for it to build up to get enough to buy the next property? Currently got 3 vanilla buy-to-lets and won't be able to release equity for another 18 months, 2.5 years. And then obviously the rent building up in the bank. But given the episode on inflation, the money's not really doing much sat in the bank at the minute. So what should I do in the short term before I have enough capital ready to buy my next buy-to-let property? Looking forward to hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. I completely understand your concern here, because cash in the bank is just being eroded by inflation. And understandably, you want your money to work harder. Now, it's worth saying that it's always good to have an emergency fund. So I would, first of all, put a pot aside for that. For things going wrong with your property, for life in general, for example, if you're ever unable to work and you've got that backup, that's a good thing to do. So first of all, I would do that. And the general advice around that is you should have around 3 to 6 months' income saved up. So whatever your cost of living is, for 3 to 6 months, you have that pot amount. Some people like to go even further, and most people don't have anything at all. So doing something is better than nothing. But let's say you put that money aside and you've still got a surplus. Well, at that point, I would suggest investing. And it's hard, right? Particularly in this market, because stocks are plummeting. Crypto, if you can call that investing, is plummeting. Property, for the time being, is going up. So it makes it more challenging. Now, with most investments, you invest for the long term and your time period is short to medium term, in my mind. So where if you invested in a stock market or a REIT, you might be okay if you take a long-term view. But the fact that you have this short window means it makes it a little bit harder. Now, you may feel that the rate of inflation and the amount it's eroding your wealth and those savings that you have means that you're comfortable with the risk in investing in this market and hoping that it is higher in 18 months' time. But you have to remember that while you may have a better result doing that, is no guarantee. Investing is generally the better thing to do, but when you take a long-term view. So what I've realised, Rob, is I've not really given an answer. So can you do any better than I've done?
Well, there is no real answer, but maybe I can give a way of thinking about it that might help. The general advice is that if you're investing in anything like the stock market, you should be doing it for a period of at least 5 years. So if you do put it in and it plummets tomorrow, you've got 5 years for it to recover, by which time history tells us it probably will have done. So generally, in your situation, I'd have said, you know, just suck it up, leave the cash in the bank, be okay with the fact it's not really doing anything for you. I think that advice at the moment is getting really stretched because inflation is so high. It's a ridiculous situation when you feel like you can't be accumulating savings. It's insane, but it is how it is. So the way I think about this is, how would you feel if in 2.5 years' time you have invested in something, call it a global tracker fund, and its value was lower than it was when you put it in by, say, 10%, 20%, and as a result, you're not able to buy the property you were planning on buying? How do you feel about that? If that would be a real disaster for you, then don't do it. Just keep the cash in the bank, get the highest interest rate you can, which is going to be not much, but on a large amount of money, a difference of 0.5% might actually be a meaningful amount of money, and just be okay with the fact that it's being eroded. If though, it's like, well, you know, I'd like to be in a position to buy a property in 2 years' time, but it'd be okay if I need to wait for things to recover and it's 4 years, then that's fine. Then maybe that's something you're comfortable with doing. It's worth taking the risk of your plans being affected in exchange for getting some potential extra reward. So Claire, we've given you the sort of the standard sensible advice, but we've also given a question to ask yourself to decide, do I actually want to just ignore the standard sensible advice? Whatever you do is up to you, but good luck with the decision.
Okay, next up, we've got a question in from Ollie. Let's hear what he's got to ask.
Hi, Rob and Rob. It's Ollie giving you a call through from Wiltshire. Just a quick question. I'm looking at purchasing my first property as somewhere to live, but it's only going to be for the next sort of a couple of years, which will then hopefully in turn lead to being a rental property. My question is, would you have a repayment mortgage on the property or would you have an interest only? Yeah, really keen to get your thoughts on what you would do in that scenario. Thanks for all the great content. Keep it up and listening for a long time. It's very, very helpful. Thanks so much.
Okay, Rob, I'll answer this one quickly and see if you disagree. My answer would be interest only, because my answer is pretty much always interest only. And for me, there's nothing about the fact that you're going to be living there at first that changes that. I'd still rather have an interest-only mortgage. I don't know whether you'd be able to get an interest-only mortgage, because getting those on a residential property is hard. There's not many of them around, especially at higher loan-to-values. So maybe you'd need to get a repayment and then switch it to an interest-only at the point of renting the property out, because you'd need to switch mortgages or get consent to let at that point anyway. But Rob, given free choice, that's what I would do. How about you?
Completely agree. I would get interest-only. Such a short time period or longer, particularly if you're young. For me, what's the point of paying down a mortgage on a property that's not your forever home? I can understand having a repayment mortgage. If I was in a home that I thought, right, okay, here's where I want to live for the long term, for the majority of my life, then you may make that decision to pay it down. But if you're going to keep moving, then you're just paying interest off when you could redeploy that capital elsewhere. So it becomes a simple investment decision for me. That excess money that you're paying to pay down the mortgage, and let's say your mortgage is 3%, can I redeploy that money elsewhere and make more than 3%? Well, over the long term, absolutely is the answer. So therefore, it's a no-brainer for me from a numbers point of view as well. So I can understand having a repayment mortgage for peace of mind and security later in life, or if you found your forever home. But if this is just another step on the ladder, then why bother paying it down when you're just going to take out probably a bigger mortgage again in the future and start again? Doesn't make any sense to me. But hopefully our answers make sense to you. And hopefully it makes sense for you to join us on Thursday when we'll be back with the property podcast. So we will see you then. Take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.